This is Classic Business on Classic 1027. Classic Business, wealth and investment.
I read quite an interesting book last year written by Michael Lewis of Flash Boys fame. It's called The Undoing Project, and it profiles the work of two behavioral psychologists who really changed the world of finance and economics forever, upended it. And they're largely considered the modern pioneers of behavioral economics, Israeli psychologists Daniel Kahneman and Amos Tversky. They basically turned financial thinking on its head when it came to how we view men and women as rational agents. For so long, economists had based their models on rational man. But man is irrational at times, in fact, most times. And it raises interesting and important questions of how we read markets. Well, to talk behavioral finance and how you think when you invest and how to make better decisions, I'm joined by Martin Ackerman, Chief Economist and Advisory Partner at Citadel. Evening, Martin.
Good evening.
Now, there's obviously a lot of research that has been done since the days of Kahneman and Tversky on our inherent biases. As an investor, where does one start when it comes to better understanding our internal biases to help guard against them when it comes to our investment decisions?
Yeah, I think I agree with you. There's actually a lot of research out there on this topic. And I think today they've identified more than 100 different biases. So we're not going to talk about all of those. We're probably going to talk about three or four that I think is probably the most important ones. But before we start talking about that, you know, I think for any individual investor, we need to understand that we are human beings and we are emotional beings. And especially if you start thinking and making decisions about your personal wealth. And therefore, I think there's, you know, two golden rules. So one is to say, well, it's always probably better to get a proper financial advisor to assist you, not to say that, you know, they're unemotional, but at least they're less emotional about your wealth than you are yourself. So like, for example, in a bear market, you know, they might look at things slightly differently. And then also picking a fund manager as an example, make sure that a fund manager also have some process or philosophy that they can stick to help them to actually remove emotion from the decision-making process. I think that's the important thing, that we're all, in the end, we are human, and, you know, when things are going well, very well or not that well, you know, we get carried away by the emotions. So that's two tips just before we start. And then I think I'd like to jump right into the topic. So the first one that I want to point out is something called over-optimism.
And that is, I mean, yeah, we you know, over-optimism is a funny one, because whenever you speak to someone, they take this view that is exceptional to what the averages say. If you talk to them about the likelihood of contracting cancer, even those people who smoke will say, ah, well, it won't really happen to me, and they'll continue to smoke. We do tend to be over-optimistic when we self-analyze.
Yes, exactly. And I think this applies to more than just an investment decision. You know, if you think about the success of your career, maybe the success of your marriage, bringing up your kids, we always think that things will be better or, you know, on the optimistic side, which is not wrong. I think, you know, we were living in a world of only negativity. That would be quite bad for us. But the thing about over-optimism is to basically boil down to, you know, if you ask people, are you an above average stock picker? No one, especially fund managers, will say, well, do you think we're average or below average? Because then in time you won't have a job. So everyone believes that they are better than the average. But in the end, the market is just average. So I think, you know, the thing that we need to take here is to say that if you on your own or with an investment advisor is considering an investment, now, just before you make that investment, just make 100% sure that you've looked at everything from every angle, so that you're not just too confident and over-optimistic that you've got discovered, you know, exactly what's going to happen to the share price, you know, the management, and nothing can go wrong. So this is really one of those that probably hide a lot of the risk, simply because we're not seeing it, because we're too optimistic about the opportunity.
But then on the flip side of that coin, I know a lot of people who perhaps overanalyze things and overanalyze the markets, perhaps. And with all the headlines we have around markets perhaps being fully valued, and if you listen to some commentators out there, I think someone can analyze themselves into a state of paralysis when they don't take a decision.
I fully agree with you. I think, you know, we are living in information technology world. So again, if you believe that you've got any more information than anybody else, it's probably not true. Information these days are available on the tick. And I think it's how you work with that information so that you're not saying, well, I've got no. So in other words, analyzing or having more information will probably increase this risk of being over-optimistic and say, well, you know, I've got this covered really now. So I think it's identifying the fundamental risk and then get a handle on that and then make your decision. And also, you know, be aware that you probably don't know everything and that in any investment there's still an underlying risk.
Yeah, but also not to, you know, in this age of information overload, just go out and look for information that tends to agree with your particular thesis, your story that you might have built up around a particular company, that that thing called confirmation bias that I think so many of us have fallen into the trap of.
Yes, you're 100% right. That's actually leading on to that one where, you know, you do a lot of work. You make a decision, right or wrong. You know, maybe the share price is going down or going up. And then you tend to start looking for more information, but just confirming whatever decision you have taken. And there's also a risk in that, that in the end you actually don't read or see the alternative to your investment choice because you're just trying to say, well, I did make the right decision. Buying a certain company at a certain level or selling out because you've made some losses and then the company turns around. So we need to be careful and it's human nature to look for confirmation and saying, well, what we are doing is right. And almost having a blind spot then for the alternative of that same decision that you've made.
Yeah, very good point that. And then we've the other big bias, I think, is anchoring and the fact that sometimes we really use irrelevant, possibly even subliminal inputs in making our decisions.
Yes, you know, that is also, you know, very much human nature. It's like anchoring to your last experience. So whether that's coming through a severe bear market, and then you think, well, that's the way the world will be for ever and a day, and then you don't want to commit any risk or investing in equity again, and then you potentially miss out on the next bull market. But I think, you know, the best example here for me always in South Africa is how we think about the rand-dollar exchange rate. That's all about anchoring. So, you know, I can take you back to 2015 after we had the sacking of the Minister of Finance. Yeah. So the rand went to 16 to the dollar, and that next morning, you know, everyone said, well, they couldn't see the rand back at 10, 11, or 12. So everyone just said 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, or whatever the case might be. And now we're back at a level where, you know, you read sometimes people are saying, well, maybe 10 to the dollar is possible. And the oil price right now is a perfect example. You know, we've seen oil above 100 for various reasons. It came down to 50, and then everyone said, well, we'll never go back to 100 again. And I think where we are right now with some of the issues in the world, you know, we're heading for $80 again, and suddenly you see new forecasts again to say, well, maybe 90 is the new oil price. So that's the risk of anchoring. And again, I think in anything, you need to be able to stand back and say, well, let's just look at this, not right where we are at this point in time, but try and see the other scenarios that can take the share price or oil price or exchange rate to levels that we can't accommodate right now in our emotional landscape.
And then the last point I'd like to touch on is the CR effect, and that's not Cyril Ramaphosa, that's cognitive reflection and decision making. What's this all about?
Yeah, that's a little bit more complicated, but that's all about how do you, it's almost, they talk about framing. So how do you look at a situation? And back to your earlier point about, you know, you have so much data, what do you do with that? So it is probably, how do you analyze that? Because I can look at a set of data and frame it in a way that might influence your decision very differently compared to another analyst. And I'm going to read you an example here, and you know, maybe it's difficult because we can't see it, but you can have, as an example, a positive framing or a negative framing. So positive would be, if you ask someone, you'll get a sure gain of 250 Rand. That's the first option. Or there's a 25% chance to gain 1,000 and a 75% chance to gain nothing. So that's your first alternative. Mm-hmm. And then the negative framing is to say, well, there's a definite loss of 750. So that's the first thing that you presented with. And then you've got a 75% chance to lose 1,000 or 25% chance to lose nothing. Now, in reality, if you look at that mathematically, the outcome is exactly the same.
Yeah.
But because you start with the first one in a positive way, most people will pick that one.
Yeah.
And the other one, you start with a loss of 750, and they say, no, I don't want that. But if you actually look through the rest of the equation, then there's no difference between the two. And I think that is what this CR is all about. It's about how do you frame something. And there, the tip is be careful how marketing agencies present financial information to you. Because obviously they would do it in a positive way and maybe give you the perception, that there's no risk, that the returns are guaranteed, that there's only upside. And because of this, then you probably will be quite comfortable making the decision. So I think that's a behavioral bias here that we need to guard against.
Much like the CR Ramaphosa effect is being framed in the new dawn, that doesn't mean that the sun won't ever set again. And I think as human beings, we do need to guard against some of these behavioral biases. Martin, always a great pleasure chatting to you. Thanks for the insights.
Thank you. Bye.
That was Martin Ackerman, Chief Economist and Advisory Partner at Citadel, with some of the biases you really need to guard against in this week's Wealth Feature.